welcome to the Future Frontline's first ever podcast episode. My name is Tash and I'm one of the co-founders of Future Frontline as well as being a medical student. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking to Jess, an incoming paramedic science student and also our Instagram team lead. So Jess, would you be able to introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Hi everyone, my name's Jess. Starting in January, I'm going to the University of Gloucestershire and I'm studying paramedic science. So that's really exciting. And like Tash said, I'm part of Future Frontline and I do the Instagram.
Amazing. And how are you today, Jess? We're recording this podcast episode just days before Christmas.
Yeah, it's a very weird time for everyone. And I just want to say I am thinking of all of you who perhaps are listening to this podcast, yourself, Tash, as well, who are in tier four, who are really struggling with this year or Christmas plans obviously have now been cancelled. It is a really hard time, but I'm just really hoping that next year is better for all of us in many different ways. So I'm okay, thanks. It's just a little bit difficult with this year, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's easy for anybody. So if we get started talking about Future Frontline, would you be able to tell everybody what made you want to get involved with us at Future Frontline?
Yeah, sure. So I remember seeing it on Tasha's story. And I started Future Frontline right from the get-go. So there was no evidence to what Tasha's ideas were saying. So I literally joined based on Tash explaining what she wanted to do with Future Frontline. And I was just so amazed. And I just really wanted to be part of something that was showcasing so many different things. Because, I mean, we're all in healthcare degrees. So we're aware of the teams behind the scenes, if you will. But I think if you're someone who doesn't know about healthcare degrees or you want to study healthcare degree, but you don't know which one, Future Frontline is just so important because we're showing you what people are doing, how they're doing it, the day in their lives, and all advice and everything from those degrees. And I think someone who doesn't do a healthcare degree, they might not even be able to say 10 healthcare degrees, because I feel like from an outside point of view, the main ones, and I'm not saying I think these are the main ones, but from someone who doesn't study a healthcare degree, the people who they might be more familiar with are people that have perhaps treated them. So, you know, a doctor, for example, is quite a common person who would treat someone and treat the average person. So if you ask someone, okay, name me 10 healthcare degrees, I really don't think people could say that many, because what they don't realise is all the degrees and all the teams and careers that are working behind the scenes, such as clinical research or radiographers or podiatrists, and all of these degrees, I just want people to have more awareness of whether they're looking at studying them or not.
I think you're so right. And I think the worrying thing is, I feel like sometimes as healthcare students, maybe, I mean, I obviously only know from being a medical student, but sometimes even healthcare students struggle to name and know about the vast array of healthcare professionals, types of healthcare professionals there are. And as you say, that's so, so important.
Yeah, completely. And I was really excited to learn myself as well, because I'm not just part of Future Frontline sort of doing work. I actually read the blog and read the stories too, because I'm passionate about it. So for me, I've learned loads of different things. And like you said, I just think it's interesting for people to know, actually, when they go and pick up a prescription, how has that prescription got in their hands? You know, people who work in a pharmacy, people who then, you know, the doctor prescribing that. And then there's just so many more people to what they see. And I just really wanted people to know that and read it and just see everyone's different point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much more than just even going to your GP. It's so much more than just seeing a doctor. There are so many more people even involved in primary care. So great. So I was wondering, what made you choose a healthcare degree in the first place?
So I was quite lucky in that I knew from a young age, and therefore I've had a lot of time to gather experience and realize that this was the right degree, or at least I wanted to go into a healthcare degree. And I just want to say to anyone who's listening, before I sort of say my story, I found out when I was 11. So don't sort of sit here and think, oh my goodness, I've only wanted to do this for a year, or maybe you're changing degrees, because everyone's story is different. Everyone has many different reasons. But I started Brownies obviously when I was younger. And when I was 11, I remember really, really clearly someone coming in and teaching us first aid. and I was just amazed by it. Like, I was so interested. And they also did casualty simulation. Mm-hmm. So we did like bruises on our arms, and I was just so amazed by it, and I really, really loved it. And that following year, I went out into my local town, and there was a St John Ambulance FATE. And obviously they were recruiting cadets. So cadets is a program that run from the age of 11 to the age of 18. So shortly after I joined, and that was the same September in that year, and I'm still part of St John Ambulance now. So I suppose ultimately I became interested in a healthcare degree because I learned first aid at Brownies, and then I started St John Ambulance. And then through that, over the 7 years I've been with them, I've obviously learned more and more and more, and worked with healthcare professionals such as paramedics and doctors and nurses and an array of different people. So it wasn't like when I was 11, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a paramedic. It was more so that was the time I was introduced to the healthcare world, really, because I was, from then on, I was just so engrossed with it all. So I think that was the turning point, really, into why I wanted to choose a healthcare degree. And like I said, I was just very fortunate that I was quite young when I realised that. For many people, they find out later in life, or perhaps they've applied to a different degree and they've wanted to transfer. So by all means, you don't have to be 11 and you don't have to want to do something for 7 years. But that for me was the time where I then was introduced to wanting to do a healthcare degree.
That's absolutely amazing. You've spent all that time volunteering with St John's Ambulance. I always try and advocate to people who want to study any healthcare degree to volunteer over a long period of time, but I tell them like 1 or 2 years, but seven years is crazy and definitely shows your commitment. So what did your sort of position as a cadet for St John's involve? What do you get up to?
So obviously now I'm 18, so I turned 18 this July, so I'm now part of the adult unit, or at least I'm getting all my paperwork sorted to be part of the adult unit. But as a cadet, there are so many opportunities, and I am really a massive advocate for St John. Even if you don't want to be a paramedic, even if you want to work in any career, I mean, we've got cadets at the moment who actually want to be in the police force, who are doing it because they just are interested. You know, you don't have to want to be a paramedic to join St John Ambulance. But when I first started, you do first aid courses, so you learn at the unit, you go and have your assessments, and then after that you can go out on duties. So that was amazing, and that was really the foundation of sort of starting to learn how to communicate with patients, how to do first aid, how to work with others. So over the course of the 7 years as a cadet, I'm from Oxford, but I did London Marathon 2019. So I worked at the finish line, and that was an incredible experience. I think I was about 16 or 17, I can't even count how old I am. I'm 17 last year, so I was 17 when it happened. And it was just absolutely incredible. And seeing how to work in a team in a very busy environment, especially members of the public constantly trying to see the patient and trying to get into the first aid tent, that was a real experience. And also just smaller events as well, like local fates and school fates and outside in summer, Windsor Marathon as well, so lots of sports events, lots of things like that. But again, if you don't feel comfortable to go out on duty, then by all means you don't need to. But I think it was a great experience at such a young age to learn how to work with everyone. And I think it really does show in my work now, because I can get on with people really easily. And I think it's because being so young, you just have to get on with it. You can't sort of be hiding in the corner and being really worried. You've just got to be really friendly, and people will help you do that. So cadets is honestly amazing. If you're thinking of trying it, 100% go for it.
Great. Yeah, that was such a good insight into some of the really, really cool things you were able to do as part of St John's. I mean, I think you just highlighted that although one of the really good parts is obviously learning how to do first aid, for you it seemed like it was more the sort of the, if you like, in air quotes, the softer skills, like communication and, you know, being a team player, which obviously is so important and kind of the at the forefront of Future Front Line, because we're emphasizing the importance of the multidisciplinary team. And I think like you said at the start, like, even if you don't want to be a paramedic, even if there's any other health category, it will definitely, you know, stand you in good grounds for any pathway you might choose.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
So, okay, so you'd been working for St. John's for 7 years or so. Were there any other degrees or sort of careers, like healthcare careers, that you considered?
To be honest, and I've actually spoken about this on my Instagram, but when I was obviously 11 and I started becoming interested in first aid, I liked casualty on a Saturday night. I thought I'm destined to be a doctor, because at the age of 11, that was really the main healthcare role that everyone knew about. And I don't want to undermine that at all. And I don't want to undermine any other healthcare degrees or careers. But
no,
I feel
completely
like,
get what you're saying.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I think when immediately I started becoming interested in this, all of my friends called me Dr. Field at school. And they were like teasing me about it. And I remember looking around Magdalen College at Oxford with my grandparents, actually when I was quite young, and I was like, oh, this is a dream, like, I'm doing medicine and I'm going to be a doctor one day. And then it wasn't until I sort of got older, and it wasn't a few years older, it was probably like the following year or something, but I realised, actually, no, I don't have to be a doctor to be able to be a medical professional. There are so many other things that I can do. And like I said, working within St. John as a cadet, I did work, majority of the people I worked with were paramedics. So I knew about paramedic science and I knew about that career from a young age. But I suppose the first thing I really thought of is, okay, I'm destined to be a doctor because I like biology and I like watching casualty on a Saturday night and I like first aid. And you immediately think, okay, I have to study medicine for 6 years. And then I sort of thought about it and I thought, no, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do something for 6 years, a career that perhaps I'm not fully into. I want to be somewhere else, I guess. So I think that's quite a common thing as well for a lot of people.
I think it's so important to have that at least thought process. I think, you know, I obviously am studying medicine and I don't think I really properly considered many other healthcare degrees, and actually I think, you know, having a really good understanding of what each role does would help with that, because I actually did a what's the word called, I did like an observational shift with the London Ambulance Service, must have been like last August, not this August in 2020, the August
that'd
before
be challenging.
Yeah, the August before. And it was, you know, I always thought I fully respected paramedics, but it was actually being on that shift when I realized how much these guys knew and how amazing they were. And actually I was impressed a lot more than some of the doctors I'd seen treating patients on placement. So it was by that experience that I actually, I don't know, just grew that full respect. I think it's hard for any of us to admit that, I don't know, we don't quite understand a different healthcare role, but I guess that's kind of what I hope for Future Frontline, is maybe not everyone will get that experience like I did for every single healthcare profession, but through, you know, personal stories, like, people can actually gain a really good insight. And, you know, like you mentioned, for aspiring healthcare students, can actually choose a healthcare degree and career that they're going to be the most happy in.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think as well, nowadays there is blurred lines between a lot of healthcare professionals. You know, a long time ago, paramedics were just seen as ambulance drivers. Quite frankly, that's what people just thought. They thought, okay, they're only on an ambulance, they have to be on the road. But nowadays, paramedics can work in A&E, they can work in a GP surgery, they can work, you know, in the army, air ambulance, oil rigs, they can literally go anywhere. And actually, if you see a paramedic working in A&E, you'll find that it's very blurred lines between what they can do and what someone more superior, such as a doctor's perhaps, could do, because actually they might have more responsibilities, but actually every healthcare profession has very similar responsibilities. And I think nowadays as well, if you're very torn between a career, I would say of course it's important to go for the career that you feel most happy in, but also remember that once you come out of that degree, or perhaps after you've come out of a job perhaps, you can still do other things. And I think that's really important, because even people nowadays think, well, if I sort of sell myself to paramedic science, I can only ever be on the road. And I'm like, no, you can't. There's so many different things you can do. And by all means, if you end up being a paramedic and then you decide you want to have further training and go into something else, you can as well. So I think it is important to know that. And nowadays in London, there's actually paramedics working with mental health nurses in cars, dealing with mental health calls. So there's literally so many things that have now come out of paramedic science. So I think it is important for people to know that once you study a degree or perhaps start a new job, you can climb the ladder, you can do other things in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that you highlighted there's such big blurred lines between professions, I think it's so true. I was trying to, someone asked me the other day what the difference between an advanced nurse practitioner and a doctor is, and I was really struggling to sort of point different things out. And I was actually talking to an advanced nurse practitioner through Instagram, and you know, they were explaining that, well, actually, they were doing everything that a doctor does, basically.
Yeah, completely. But some people just see that someone has doctor in front of their name, and to sort of their eye, they immediately think, okay, well, they must be like massively superior. And I'm not undermining that. Someone like an advanced nurse practitioner working in a GP surgery, like you said, they have the same amount of responsibilities and the same amount of work that goes into that patient. Do you know what I mean? So I think overall it is really important that people know that it is blurred lines, and by all means they can do a degree and they can then do another one if they want.
Definitely. So I think you've sort of answered my next question, which was what did you do to build a strong application? So apart from the volunteering for St John's, which is obviously amazing and pretty much all you would need to do in my eyes, but was there anything else that you did to sort of build a strong application? And maybe you could sort of walk us through the application process for paramedic sciences.
Yeah, of course. I just sort of want to say another disclaimer as well, is that I chose the college route. So what I'm about to say is through placements that I did at college. So I just don't want anyone listening to this thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to do St John for 7 years, I've got to do all these placements, work at a pharmacy, because you just don't at all. It's just simply how I did things, and you know what I mean, you don't have, please don't compare yourself to what I did. But when I was at secondary school, I think I was in about year 10, and we had work experience. So I was really thinking about what I could do, because obviously at that age I think I was just a bit too short of an age to go into a hospital, because some of my friends did, but I remember being a little bit too young for that. So I couldn't go into a hospital, and I was thinking, well, what can I do, because I do really want to work with people and I do really want to work in a more clinical environment to sort of expose me to that. So I have a local pharmacy really, really close to me, so I handed in my work experience application through the school. And I did work experience there for a week, and I absolutely loved it. And I was just so fascinated by how medication is pronounced, for a start, how many things there are. It's very hard when you work there. And I just really like chatting to patients, sort of more behind the scenes, if you will, because you're not obviously treating them, but you're giving them their prescriptions and you're talking to them over the phone about certain things. And actually a lot of the time they came in and they were asking for advice on what to buy over the counter. So I really, really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it so much that in year 11, when I needed some money, I thought, right, I need to get a job. But being, I think I was 15 actually, maybe it wasn't year 11, maybe it was in the same year, but I was 15 and I needed some money. And most places nearby me, I don't know if it's the same for anyone else, but all the places I applied to was, you had to be 16, you had to be over 16. And it was really difficult to get a job. So I wrote out a CV and I just thought, well, I'm just going to try the pharmacy. If they say no, that's absolutely fine. So I handed in my CV when I was 15 to the same pharmacy I did work experience at. And they wanted me to start the next Saturday. And I worked there for 3 years, so I left this May. And I had to have a special permit under the council to make sure that obviously I was given the right amount of hours for being under 16 and all of this stuff. And I worked there for 3 years and I absolutely loved it, and for sure it has helped me in interviews as well, talking about my experience and in my UCAS application, you know, dealing with medications, knowing about polypharmacy and how things all work and what's given to someone and what might not be suitable for someone. It all really, really helps. So by all means, I'm not saying go join a pharmacy, but I'm saying if that experience is out there and you're a bit like, well, that's not really related to my career, it totally is. Like, it is so, so helpful. So I did that for 3 years and then I started college, and I decided to go down the college route because I wanted a vocational course. A lot of people who message me as well on Instagram are sort of saying, what A-level should I do? What A-levels? And I'm like, if you don't want to do A-levels, you don't have to. By all means, go to college. So I went to college and I did a extended diploma in health and social care. And over 2 years, I can't remember the exact number, but it was about 430 hours per year of placement. So yeah, it was heavy, heavy placement. And it was 2 days a week away from college at the placement, obviously, you were working at. But a lot of the time, if college wasn't very busy, they would let us do more to obviously gain more hours there. So my first placement was at a care home. So I wanted to really strip back to just working with people, working with people with, you know, dementia especially, and with less understanding, in the sense that I've got to work a bit harder to communicate with someone. And a lot of people in my course who wanted to do paramedic science as well, they were all thinking about the hospital and the big going into theatre and all of this stuff. And I actually just wanted to strip it right back and just work with people from different age ranges, different abilities, different additional needs. So I worked at the care home and that was great. And I always recommend people to do that because it really just sets yourself up for later on working with an older generation. And then my next placement was at a special education school, and I worked in a class of non-verbal children aged between 5 and 9, I think, but they were all non-verbal, so it was all sign language and Makaton and point cue cards. And again, some of my friends were like, why are you doing that? That's nothing to do with what you want to do later on in life. And I was like, it so is, because I'm learning how to communicate with people who can't communicate very easily, and I'm breaking down these barriers and, you know, having that initiative and again working with other people. It all really, really links.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so the main sort of thing I'm trying to get from this is that any placement you do, it does not have to be clinical. You learn so many skills, and I absolutely loved it there, and I cried on my last day like an absolute baby. And the kids were just amazing there, and I was only there for about 7 months, but I really, really saw the growth of those kids in that class and how well they were getting on. And following that, my last placement, I know this is really long, I'm so sorry.
No, it's so interesting. I'm so amazed. I'm just sat here, like, listening to all of this, being like, let's just get this girl working already.
Thank you so much.
No, but it's so true what you're saying about, well, one, those communication skills. You know, from the last 3.5 years during my degree, what I've learned is, arguably, in my opinion, the most important thing in all healthcare careers and probably other careers are those communication skills. You know, it doesn't matter about whether, you know, your knowledge about anatomy or you know, the physiology behind something or even, you know, a medication name, if you can't actually communicate with this patient and find out what's happened and what's going on, etc.
Yeah, and of course, and that, I think that really applies as well for any healthcare degree, but for something like working in an ambulance, you know, you're seeing different patients of different ages, of different backgrounds, and you have to be able to communicate with every single person slightly differently, perhaps. So I do think it is really important. And because I loved the school so much, obviously I worked with the kids. So the kids had Down syndrome, different levels of severity of autism. So I wanted to then challenge myself even more and actually work with the same additional needs, but actually in adults. So I decided to go to my county council support service day centre, and I worked with adults with a variety of different needs, really, because some people had dementia, some people had mental health illnesses, and I was working with adults with a variety of different additional needs. And every adult I spoke to, I had to speak to differently. So I was working there and, you know, there'd be five adults in front of me, five service users. Each one of them had a different communication method. And that was really, really challenging when I first joined. And I was so taken back by it because I was so like, I'm really scared that I'm not going to be able to communicate with people, make them feel safe, make them feel at ease. And they were the loveliest people I have ever met. And I have never laughed so much in that job. They just made you smile all the time. And I just think, again, it's so important to be able to work with those with perhaps more challenging behaviour. And that's my dad's job, actually. My dad is a manager of different homes around my area where adults with learning disabilities live. So actually seeing what my dad and see the people my dad work with. A lot of the time I was actually working with my dad's service users. And it was just really amazing to just do that. And also my dad was obviously really proud, which was just so lovely to hear, that sort of our generation have that in them to be able to want to do that. But again, it all leads back to sort of being a future paramedic and being a student paramedic, because even though a challenging behaviour might not be someone who actually has a different condition, it actually might be someone who's drunk, or it might be someone who is so anxious and going into a panic attack that, you know, they're causing challenging behaviour by not talking to you or being perhaps irrational or all these different things. So actually to be able to strip it right back and work with loads of different people of different needs, I know will really help me, and I know it really, really will help others. And I advocate that placement so much, like so much, because it will help anyone in any healthcare degree to be able to work with that and to be patient and to learn all these different skills. I mean, I learned sign language and Makaton, obviously because I had to, otherwise I couldn't communicate with a lot of the service users. But like now I'm so, I love it, learning it. And my university actually have a society for British Sign Language, which I want to join when I go to university. And I just think skills like that is just so irreplaceable. They're just so important to have.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, Jess, your skill set all round and everything, I'm just shocked in amazement. I'm so glad we've had this conversation and everyone's heard of you're far too modest.
Oh no, thank you. But I do want to just say to like the people listening, like anyone listening, you do not have to do this. Like, you do not have to do all these things. You can just, and also I say to a lot of people, I've been reading some people's personal statements and they're like, I don't have any experience. And I'm like, okay, well, where do you work now? And I remember one girl said to me, oh, well, I work in a cafe in M&S. And I was like, put it in your statement. That is still experience. You're still working with people and using communication and working as a team, and you know that anything you do, whether it's clinical or not, it is still experience. So please don't listen to this thinking, blimey, I've now got to cram in all of this stuff before I go to uni, because you just do not at all.
No, absolutely, I completely agree with you. And I actually sit on some like medical student interview course, and sort of lots of people tell me all about, you know, what it's like being a doctor, what it's like working in the NHS, and I'm like, okay, well, just tell me like where you found this out. What was that, a book that you read that in? Was that a podcast that you listened to? Because that's a really, really good piece of, you know, work experience in my opinion, and in, you know, university's opinions as well. And like you said, the importance of any job, like all those skills that we've just been talking about previously, like the teamwork, like the communication skills and everything like that, you'll get from that job in a cafe. So whatever healthcare role that is, you know. But yeah, I think you talking through your experience will definitely give, you know, people lots of ideas as to hopefully what they can get involved in to give them an idea of I guess just working with people is the main thing.
And I do understand as well, I mean, a lot of applicants this year especially, they haven't had the year that they would have wanted, like, at work experience, and I do completely understand. And I think also please remember, universities will understand, you know, normally on the build up to university you are doing some form of work experience, because a lot of universities for paramedic science do require you to do a set amount or of either hours or months doing work experience. So a lot of people were sort of panicking, thinking, I actually haven't been able to go out and do that. But please remember, universities, I'm sure, will consider that in your application.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's interesting you were speaking about your placement in the care home, because one of my friends at medical school actually recently wrote a blog post for Future Frontline about her time working as a carer in a nursing home during COVID. And it was really, really insightful for me to actually read that. Although I've never worked in a care home, I've obviously visited, well not obviously, but I have visited grandparents in care homes before, and but her sort of account of what it was like, and I guess her realization of how hard, to put it just really simply, a work of a carer is. And
really is. I you appreciate it more, like you said about when you did your shift with London Ambulance Service. I know that as a future paramedic or as a student paramedic, I'm now so much more aware of support workers and carers and, you know, other, like I literally said at the beginning about Future Frontline, I'm now more aware of so many different people that are working in order for patients to have the best possible care possible.
Absolutely. So you mentioned previously that you're starting your degree in January, which is really exciting. Do you know what your course might entail? What are you most excited about, I guess, is my question.
I'm just excited to start, in all honesty, because this year has been very difficult. Obviously, I stopped my job at the pharmacy in May, shortly after college finished. I think it even probably finished even earlier than that. And also, my course starts in January, but that's actually not because of COVID. That is actually how the course has always ever run. It's just coincidental that it's now in January, where it's probably a little bit better. I mean, the situation isn't going to be a whole lot better, and I get that.
It was supposed to be better.
Yeah, but I mean, back in like August, I was thinking, I'm so glad I'm going next year, and now we're sort of nearer that, and I'm like, okay, it's sort of the same. That is the normal start date. So I just think, I actually am really excited to just, and my mum, if she hears me say this, she'll be really upset, but to just move out and just sort of have that independence. And I know it'll be really hard when I get there, and by all means, I'll be homesick, and I'll probably get there and think, I want to come home again, like my washing and, you know, all this stuff. But I feel so ready to just go. And I've met all my flatmates. I've met everyone, well, over the phone, obviously. I've met the whole cohort over Zoom. I've known them all since about February, since I had my offer. So it's been really great, because actually we've spent the whole year messaging each other. So hopefully it won't be as awkward in person. And they're all just so lovely. We all have such a laugh over Zoom and things. So I just think I'm so excited to just start something I absolutely love doing and I've been passionate about for years. And of course, I'm really excited for the course and things, but I'm really excited to just move somewhere different and have that independence and just sort of have a new beginning, as hard as it will definitely be in the circumstances. But I am really excited for my course. We had a induction over Zoom the other day, because that's normally in person, where you go to the university a day before you start and you have a bit of an induction and what you're going to do and meet the team. And we had that over Zoom, and I was just like, wow, this is so surreal, because like I said, I've been waiting so long. Like, all of my friends have gone in September and I'm still waiting and waiting and waiting. And I actually am really happy, because looking back, I really don't think I would have been ready in September. I mean, I would have gone if I had to, but I really just appreciated these last few months with my family still. And obviously being home at Christmas, I understand that so many students are still probably at university doing exams or doing essays, and they just feel like they can't leave. And obviously now they definitely can't leave in some cases. So I'm really excited for the course. We've been told where our placements are going to be. And obviously I'm going to Gloucestershire. So it's the lovely Cotswolds and Cheltenham and very, very lovely places to do placement in. So I'm just really excited. And yeah, overall, I'm really excited to do the course. But I think actually just moving away, having the independence, starting something I absolutely love and have always wanted to do, I think will just be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that independence, like you mentioned, is probably, well, arguably the most important thing for any first year, moving away from home for the first time. It's such an exciting experience. But you'll still always be able to come home with your washing, trust me.
Yeah, I'm only an hour away.
So I don't know if it's too early to ask you this, and maybe we'll have to catch up in a year or so's time, but do you know what kind of area of being a paramedic you want to go into? You know, like we mentioned earlier that paramedics now work in like GPs and A&Es with like mental health teams.
The dream would be air ambulance, but that is hard, obviously. You know, any career is hard to get into, and climbing the ladder in careers is obviously even harder. But that is the goal, and obviously that's not going to happen anytime soon, but eventually that is where I want to end up being, in the air ambulance, because I'm just so passionate about emergency care and critical care, and I just want to take that a step further and have even more responsibilities and a bigger role and being more emergency scenarios. My mum doesn't like the idea of me in a helicopter flying about the place, but I really, really want to go into that. But I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with just being a paramedic. You know, you're not just being a paramedic. That's still a huge career and a huge role. So, you know, it's wherever life takes me, really. But I do really want to work in the air ambulance. So yeah, that's really, really exciting. And actually, when I was in the shower today, I actually saw an air ambulance outside my window, because the shower's right by the window. And I was like, is that an air ambulance? Like, looking out. So yeah, I am really excited for that. But again, that's not going to come anytime soon. You've got to have a lot more training after your degree. And you've also got to be the best of the best. So, you know, it's going to be something that's going to be hard to get into. But hopefully that is what I'm going to do one day.
I mean, from your experience and the way that you talk about everything, I have every confidence in you, Jess, and I do not say that just because I'm speaking to you now. I think you've got such, like, I don't know, I think you're a real role model for a lot of people. You know, you've clearly got really, what's the word, like, high goals, but definitely, in my opinion, achievable, obviously with a lot of hard work. But you're really modest and just really realistic, which I really like. So yeah, I've got every confidence in you.
But
yeah, having said that, what's the single biggest piece of advice that you would give to somebody maybe considering applying for paramedic sciences?
I mean, there's obviously a lot of things I would like to say, but I think it's probably what I said earlier about experience, really. You don't have to work in hospital. You don't have to have all this experience behind you. Because I was very much like, I'll do that at uni. I can work at... Because people actually said to me, South Central Ambulance Service, I was looking at going on a day shift with them, or at least working at the base. And I then thought, you know what, I can do that at uni. I can be a student paramedic and I can work at a hospital, I can work on an ambulance, and I can do that at uni. Right now, I just want to work with people. And I think, like I said earlier, if you're in a situation where you want to apply, not even to paramedic science, but to any degree, but you've got that constant worry of, but I haven't got any experience, I haven't worked in hospital, I haven't done this, I haven't ever met a patient, you don't have to. Like, you really, really don't have to. And I think, although I've been going on for the last half an hour about all what I've done and all these experiences, you really don't need to do any of that. I mean, it is amazing if you do, and it's great for yourself as well, because I could have started St John and thought, I really don't want to do this, and that would have been but that would have been actually quite good, because I would have had that situation and then thought, okay, no, I'm not suited for this, which is even best, you know. It's the same as sort of wanting to do it.
Definitely. And I think that sort of emphasizes, you know, why people do work experience. Yes, you know, you might lose, actually, the main reason is to find out, you know, whether this sort of degree, this sort of career is the one for you. It's not all about your entry requirements.
Yeah. And I think people do forget, I mean, you know, it's fine if you want to do it like that, if you because there are many people that sort of say, well, I'm going to join St John, and we've had it in my unit as well, where people have joined and then they've left like 2 months after, but at least it's now on their CV. And that's fine if you're going to do that, no one's saying you can't, but I just really think inexperience is only experience if you've taken something away from it. And I don't know whoever said that to me, but I really appreciate whoever did, because it's so true. You know, you can force yourself to work in these places, but actually, if you don't come home and think, oh, I could have done that better, or perhaps tomorrow I'll do this, or you sort of reflect and you have things that you've brought back from that, it isn't really experience. But I just think, going back on experience, I just keep talking about experience. But you know, you please don't pressure yourself into trying to work in all these amazing clinical places, because you can do that when you're at uni, you can do that when you're older. If you can do it now, absolutely amazing, you know, that would be great to have on your application and great for your personal development. But, you know, you're absolutely fine if you are just working in a 9-to-5 job, or if you're a mature student, obviously coming back from a different career. You don't need all this experience. I mean, any experience with anyone, even if it's just someone at home that you look after, if you're a family carer for someone, that in itself is a huge responsibility. So I think my main bit of advice was to just put anything and everything on your personal statement, or in a mind map at least. You can get rid of things after if they don't feel like they're too applicable. But just link everything back. When you write your personal statement, just keep linking things back. Even at school, you can say, I managed quite a big workload. This will help me because, and just link everything back. You don't need to do all these wonderful experiences. I was just very lucky that I did. And I obviously was very passionate about doing quite a lot, but just strip it back. You really don't need to do that much. And like I said, just link absolutely everything back to being a paramedic and why it helps you.
Definitely. And I think that's absolutely brilliant advice. And I think often when, you know, we're 18 or younger or older, sometimes we tend to sort of downplay our experience and, you know, oh, I just worked in a cafe or something. And yeah, actually, it's sort of, like you say, stripping that back and thinking, well, actually, I learned a lot. Yeah, I think that's really important to highlight. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. Really, really good advice for anyone really considering a healthcare degree, not just paramedicine, I guess. So you did mention earlier that you have an Instagram page, so if anybody wants to sort of get in touch with you, would they be able to do that through there?
Yes, you're more than welcome. My Instagram is student paramedic Jess. I haven't been very active recently because obviously it's this sort of time where I haven't really been doing much because I'm still waiting to go to university. But I'm really hoping that when I go, I can then share what I'm doing, show you an insight to what I am doing at the course. I also have read quite a few personal statements this year. I probably won't read any more now because obviously it is nearly Christmas and then I'll be moving to university. But if you do have any questions about your application or you sort of want reassurance about what you're doing at the moment, then please just DM me. It's absolutely fine. I'm not doing anything till the middle of January, so now's your chance to really like hear back from me quite quickly. But yeah, that I just sort of share things I've learned along the way. I have actually done quite a few posts on placement, why it was good, what I learned from it. So hopefully it's out there and people can read my stuff and think, oh, that's really cool, or that's helped me. And that's all I want really, is for people to have that out, for people to have that, and for me to help them sort of virtually.
Definitely. And I think, you know, all sort of one of the really, really good things about so many healthcare students on social media is the sense that, you know, aspiring students can see actually what it's like to be a student. It's in that degree, it's one thing knowing about the profession, but it's equally important to know what you're going to be doing for the next 3 years of your life.
Yeah, of course. And it's so interesting, like the community, obviously you get a few not so nice people, but the community as a whole is really, really amazing. And I absolutely love watching what other people are doing, and I'm like, oh, I want to do that, and then I have to remember, no, I don't want to do that, like I'm just really liking that post or whatever. So yeah, it is a really amazing community. And I also think if you want, like, start your own, like it's really cool to document yourself and document the journey you're going on, either already at uni or starting. So yeah, it's really nice being on Instagram and helping people out, or at least trying to help people out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing on there what you get up to when you start in January. So
thank you.
Thanks so much, Jess, for taking the time to talk about all things paramedic sciences, I guess. But it's been really, really interesting for me to listen to everything that you've done and sort of your reasons for choosing that degree. I mean, it seems very clear to me now. And actually, I think if I didn't do medicine, paramedicine would definitely be up there. And you've just convinced me even more.
Yeah, Tasha's now going to swap degrees to go back to it. No, thank you so much for having me. It's so amazing as well, can I just say, that this podcast is a thing. Like, how cool is this? I listen to podcasts every day when I'm in my car, when I'm probably getting my dad from work or popping into town. I've always got a podcast on. So thank you so much. This is such a cool experience, and I hope this inspires other people to share their stories.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed listening to that podcast episode as much as I enjoyed talking to Jess. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast and tune in for our next podcast episode, which will be hosted by Nikki.